breaking news tonight. School bus horror. Several students killed, many injured when the bus slammed into a house and wrapped around a tree, splitting it in half. We have a late report. Manhunt for a killer. A police officer ambushed and assassinated. A deadly stretch for law enforcement. Four officers shot across three states in just 24 hours. Holiday week storm blanketing a big part of the country, threatening to make a travel nightmare for millions. Beating Black Friday, skipping the crowds, but not the savings. How those in the know are already getting big deals right now. And Glory Days, our Monday inspiring America. The 55-year-old father who just made college football history, proving it's never too late to live your dreams. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. On a very busy Monday, we begin here with breaking news. A terrible story developing out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, where a school bus carrying 35 elementary students has crashed, and it has killed some of those on board. Hospitals were put on alert to receive patients this afternoon as rescuers worked to extricate victims after the bus went out of control, wound up split in two around a tree. Let's get the very latest now from NBC's Kerry Sanders.
Photos on Twitter taken by the Chattanooga Fire Department show rescue teams at work. One firefighter perched on top of the crumpled bus, tipped on its side, wedged between two trees. The emergency call went out at around 3:20 this afternoon.
School bus flipped off the roadway. It is occupied with children. They believe there's ejections.
On board, 35 children, kindergartners through fifth graders.
I can see an arm moving, but I don't know if anybody can get to it.
23 children were transported to the hospital.
A bus crash involving school children is every public safety professional's worst nightmare.
8-year-old Darian Griffith escaped with only bumps and bruises.
Glad you're safe, buddy.
It's unclear why the driver lost control of the bus. Tonight, parents in Chattanooga are gathering at Woodmore Elementary School, anxiously praying for their young children.
The authorities in Chattanooga, Tennessee, tell NBC News at least six children died in the accident. The medical examiner is now at the scene. The driver is reportedly cooperating with police in the investigation. Like so many school buses in this country, there were no seatbelts. Lester?
Absolutely horrible. Kerry, thank you. There are also late-breaking developments in the hunt for a suspect in the ambush-style shooting death of a Texas police officer. Investigators say the 50-year-old San Antonio PD detective was one of four lawmen gunned down in three states over a 24-hour period. The rash of attacks happening in what has already been an exceptionally deadly year for the nation's law enforcement officers. NBC's Jacob Rascone is in San Antonio now with the latest.
Tonight, after a two-day manhunt, police have captured the man they say executed one of their own.
We arrested 31-year-old Otis Tyrone McCain.
The suspect seen in new surveillance video pacing nervously outside San Antonio Police Headquarters Sunday morning, walking inside at 7:45 for just 20 seconds. 4 hours later, Detective Ben Marconi was shot twice in the head.
I've got an officer down in front of headquarters. I need EMS right now in front of headquarters.
His killer taking off in this black Mitsubishi sedan. The FBI, U.S. Marshals, Texas Rangers, and others all searching nonstop.
This was nothing short of an assassination of a police officer.
Marconi was the fourth law enforcement officer shot in 24 hours. An ambush in St. Louis, Missouri. A drive-by shooting in Sanibel, Florida. Another officer shot in Gladstone, Missouri. So far this year, 58 officers across the U.S. have been killed by gunfire, compared to 36 such killings all of last year. Detective Marconi graduated from the San Antonio Police Academy 20 years ago. Retired Detective Roy Naylor was right there with him and worked alongside Marconi for 20 years.
It was tough because it wasn't the way somebody should go, and especially somebody that was respected as well as he was.
Ambushes like this one have a chilling effect, Naylor says.
People see this and they're like, well, why do I want to be a cop if I'm just going to get shot for no reason?
And minutes ago, the San Antonio police chief confirmed that they arrested 31-year-old Otis Tyrone McCain about a half hour from here SWAT team members took him into custody without incident. He was with a woman and a two-year-old child. He was arrested, as I said, without incident for what they called a cold and calculated murder. The mayor said we can all breathe a little easier tonight. Lester.
Jacob Rascone. Jacob, thank you. Now to the winter wallop hitting in the middle of fall, a big snowstorm blanketing part of the country right now. And it could mark just the beginning of lingering travel nightmares as we head into this very busy holiday travel week. Al Roker will be here in a moment, but first the latest from NBC's Blake McCoy out in the thick of it.
Whipping winds and whiteout conditions as the first major snowstorm of the season is now hammering the Northeast. More than 2 feet of snow has fallen in parts of upstate New York, crippling cities at the start of this busy Thanksgiving travel week.
We woke up with all this. I'm like, whoa, she likes it, but mommy's not really feeling it.
Here in Syracuse, New York, they're used to snow, just not this much this early. Keep in mind, none of this was here 24 hours ago. Are you surprised by how much snow you're getting out here?
It's outrageous.
Mark Roush's snowblower on the fritz. Not quite ready for all this snow either.
Uh-oh.
It's making a mess of the roads. Near Marathon, New York, a bus taking kids on a field trip slid onto its side while swerving to avoid a spun-out car. 8 students suffered minor injuries. Tonight, driving remains treacherous into Connecticut and the rest of New England. In New Hampshire, 2 deaths are being blamed on icy roads. Air travel being impacted as well. High winds at New York's LaGuardia Airport causing delays just 3 days before Thanksgiving.
Try to get out before everything gets crazy.
This year, 1 million more Americans will be traveling for Thanksgiving compared to last year. With the travel rush just beginning, tonight many find themselves going nowhere fast.
Here in Syracuse tonight, the snow continues to fall, more than 20 inches so far. People are being advised to stay home until this lets up tomorrow morning. Lester?
All right, Blake, thanks very much. Let's turn to Al Roker. Where's this storm going, and what are we looking at as we head closer to the holiday?
Well, we've got some problems, Lester. Right now, you can see on the radar, we are starting to see this to tapering off. We're talking about another 1 to 3, maybe 6 inches in some of the higher elevations. As far as travel, we're going to see a parade of storms coming across, and here's what we're looking at. As far as the air travel, on Wednesday, Chicago is going to be a problem. Periods of rain throughout the day, improving conditions in the evening. Minneapolis a problem. Detroit as well, with, again, more rain, possible delays, mixed to rain and snow, heaviest rain in the evening. As far as travel, I-94, I-65, I-70 going to be problems as well. St. Louis to Pittsburgh, rainy travel, ponding, and problems there. And then as we move out west, I-5 going to be the big problem from Sacramento to Seattle, rain and snow over the mountain passes. Lester, of course, will continue to track it.
All right. Al, thanks very much. A developing story tonight in Japan, where it is early morning now. All eyes there have been locked on the sea after a powerful earthquake struck off the coast of Fukushima, setting off tsunami warnings and evacuation orders. This is the same area where a nuclear power plant was destroyed by a tsunami after a devastating quake 5 years ago. We get the latest from NBC's Miguel Almaguer.
The 6.9 earthquake jolted Japan as the sun was coming up, triggering a serious and immediate warning.
Tsunami warning for the coastal areas of Fukushima.
Local television urged viewers to find higher ground quickly. The powerful quake sending a shockwave through the region, and fear a powerful tsunami could be even more dangerous than the tremor. With tsunami sirens blaring, the shallow quake hit at 6:01 a.m. local time off the coast of Fukushima Prefecture, with a warning reverberating across a region rattled before.
Please evacuate.
In 2011, a 9.1 earthquake brought Japan to its knees, but it was the 25-foot wall of water, a massive tsunami that killed thousands and destroyed nuclear power plants. Tonight in Japan, another quake. And now the shockwave of fear that comes with tsunami warnings.
A tsunami warning has just been lifted off the coast of Japan, though smaller waves did hit the region between 2 to 3 feet. Other good news, there is no reported damage to any nuclear facilities. Lester?
Miguel Almaguer tonight. Miguel, thanks. President-elect Donald Trump met today with more prospective members of his administration as his team released a video of Trump talking about his legislative priorities. At the same time, questions remained about how Trump will separate the work of his businesses from his work on the nation's business. We get more tonight from NBC's Hallie Jackson.
Transition and our
late tonight, a new video from the president-elect.
Our transition team is working very smoothly.
Donald Trump listing off his 10-point plan.
On immigration, I will direct the Department of Labor to investigate all abuses of visa programs that undercut the American worker.
A tape produced by his own team. The press, not invited. His aides today forced to fend off new questions about how the president-elect can juggle both his business dealings and the business of the country.
By the time he takes office as president of the United States, everything, every law will be complied with, every I and every T will be done.
The focus? His new D.C. hotel and a recent reception, complete with Trump wine, meant to woo foreign diplomats.
They spent a lot of time talking about the property and how they hoped that, you know, this would be a property that the diplomats would use.
The sales pitch, raising concerns overseas customers might stay there to win brownie points with the next president. Meanwhile, the foreign bank that financed Trump's acquisition of that property and these others is under investigation by the Justice Department, a department Trump will oversee come January. Trump's name, not just on hotels here at home, but around the world. 15 properties internationally with a lucrative deal in Turkey and business ties in Saudi Arabia, even as he assailed the Clinton Foundation for its links to the foreign government.
Why don't you give back the money that you've taken from certain countries?
Some of Trump's biggest business deals coming from India. Pictures now surfacing of some Indian business partners visiting last week, despite the president-elect in the thick of transition talks at Trump Tower.
The conflicts that are going to follow from his ownership of the Trump Organization while serving as president are pervasive. They're obvious. They're foreseeable.
Separately, late tonight, different video is surfacing that's raising some concerns. It shows an alt-right conference here in Washington where one of the speakers praised Donald Trump with language similar to that used in Nazi Germany.
For us as Europeans, it is only normal again when we are great again. Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory!
People in the crowd responding with straight-arm salutes. That speaker, Richard Spencer, telling NBC News he intended his words to be ironic and exuberant, insisting the alt-right is not a neo-Nazi movement, adding, Trump has been good for them. A Trump spokesperson responding to that conference says President-elect Trump has continued to denounce racism of any kind, and he was elected because he will be a leader for every American. Lester?
All right, Hallie Jackson, thank you. There is urgent new concern tonight about the situation in Syria after government forces bombed yet even more hospitals in the rebel-held part of Aleppo, leaving 250,000 people with severely limited access to critical care. The UN humanitarian chief said the situation has gone from terrible to terrifying and now barely survivable. Our latest now from Chief Foreign Correspondent Richard Engel.
Cameras captured the moment bombs hit what was one of just two hospitals left in eastern Aleppo. A team from Al Jazeera Television was filming inside. Patients didn't know where to run. Nurses faced a heartbreaking choice, taking babies out of the incubators, keeping them alive, or leaving them in a hospital that had become a target. Now, there's only one hospital left. Tonight, we spoke to a member of the Aleppo Medical Council.
We're so worried for that final hospital.
If this final hospital is bombed, what will it mean for the people in eastern Aleppo?
It's really will be a disaster for all of us in Aleppo.
By almost any measure, this part of Aleppo, under attack by the Syrian regime, is already a disaster.
There is no food completely.
Food is running out.
Okay. There's bombing now.
Well, if you need to go with me, you just hang up, okay?
The 250,000 civilians in eastern Aleppo are trapped, bombed, and now have almost no access to medical care. Richard Engel, NBC News, New York.
All right, we need to take a break here in a moment. We'll look at the holiday week ahead. Could the Black Friday shopping craze be coming to an end? How to get those deals online now? Also, some good news out tonight about dementia. We'll be right back. Back now with news on the big day coming up this week. Not Thanksgiving. We're talking about the day after, Black Friday. Companies competing for your dollars. But this year, the holiday deals are already here. And as Jolene Kent explains, it could mean the end of Black Friday as we know it.
If shopping like this makes you cringe, good news. Experts say Black Friday madness may soon be a thing of the past.
The way Black Friday is really changing is that it's not just one day. It is these 5 days of savings where you're able to save money on everything under the sun.
Sales in stores on Black Friday were down 12% last year, and this year shoppers plan to spend half their holiday budget online. In fact, many retailers have already kicked off their online Black Friday sales. Here's how to take advantage of deep discounts right from your couch, starting now. Fill up your shopping cart, and as the Black Friday deals come out, sign out of the site altogether. Stores want you to complete the sale, so when you log back in, you may get new discounts or free shipping.
Outsmart retailers by searching for better deals on different devices. Shop on your phone, your tablet, and your computer. Prices may change by device because retailers are tracking your search history and your past shopping habits.
And don't ignore the live chat option on a retailer's website. Use it to ask for a coupon for free shipping or a discount.
You can actually ask them, hey, you know, is there anything you can offer me today? And they might say, not today, but listen, we have a secret flash sale coming on tomorrow from 10 to 11 a.m., so log back on.
And join the club. For example, if you spend a lot on Amazon, it probably pays to sign up for Prime. Also, many stores have programs for loyal shoppers that offer deeper discounts and points to make free purchases. Quick and easy ways to skip the crowds, but not the savings. Jolyn Kent, NBC News, New York.
We're back in a moment with a scary moment caught on camera involving a popular toy this coming holiday season. Some good news to report in health news about dementia. A study from the University of Michigan found the rate of dementia in seniors has dropped by 24% since 2000. There's no cure for dementia, but researchers say the drop may be due to more education, keeping minds active, and more effective treatments for diabetes and heart disease, which are also linked to memory problems. Sabra is issuing a voluntary recall for some of its popular hummus products. The reason? Listeria was found at one of the company's manufacturing facilities, but not in any tested finished product. The recall is specific to containers with a best before date of January 23rd, 2017 or earlier. And 4 days to Black Friday, Toys R Us is pulling a Tonka truck model off the shelves, one of the 12-volt ride-on dump trucks. Burst into flames in the back of that adult-sized pickup you see there. Then it caught fire again when the buyers went back to return it. Toys R Us has apologized and promised a full refund. They say it was an isolated incident and that they're working with the toy company to find out exactly what happened. When we come back, inspiring America and running the play of his life, 55 years in the making. Finally tonight, living proof that you're never too old to pursue your dreams. And this one is like something right out of the movies. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has the story of a guy inspiring America, and oh, by the way, inspiring a lot of us in our 50s, by turning back the hands of Father Time and making history on the field.
Don't let the backpack or the ball cap fool you. Joe Thomas Sr. is not your typical college student.
Going to work every day and coming to class 5 days a week. Very tough.
The 55-year-old at South Carolina State University is now believed to be the oldest player ever in Division I football.
So what's your secret?
Just eating and working out.
Near the end of the first quarter against Savannah State, Thomas took this handoff for a three-yard gain. But yardsticks could not fully measure the impact of this carry.
How badly did he want this shot?
Oh, he wanted it a bunch. He'd been worrying me for years. The guy comes in my office and says, I want to play.
Thomas played ball in high school, but a speech impediment made him think college wasn't for him. Decades later, after the economy tanked and his construction business crumbled, he needed a new start.
I needed a college education.
Majoring in engineering, he started practicing with the same squad where his son, current Green Bay Packer Joe Thomas Jr., had played just a few years ago.
At first, everybody kind of took it as a little joke, but after a while, when he actually was out there working out with us, come in the weight room and would do the conditioning, we accepted him as one of the regular players.
He was serious.
Oh, dead serious.
And since his collegiate debut, he's brushed off comparisons to Rudy.
Rudy?
Yeah.
He was a little smaller guy, though, wasn't he?
But he calls it the happiest moment of his life.
I reached my goal.
A goal, now a life lesson.
Just never give up. Always stay focused.
So what's next? Graduation, a new career, and maybe he'll even try wrestling, he says. After all, at 55, he's just getting started. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Orangeburg, South Carolina.
There was a lot of grim news in this newscast, but a great story to end on. And we invite you to submit your own inspiring America stories on our Facebook page. That's going to do it for us on a Monday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.